Seahawks wide receiver Doug Baldwin was in the news again today. He was in Olympia testifying in front of a legislative task force. Its members are looking at the state law that deals with police officers who are involved in deadly shootings. Officers can be prosecuted only if they act with malice and with a lack of good faith. Baldwin's father was a police officer, but he says the law should be changed.
Law enforcement agencies want to serve their communities. They want to serve them with the best trained officers. They want to serve them with the most useful resources to make their community safer. And the communities want the same thing. And if this is truly what is desired by both sides, then removing malice from the statute and at least further defining what good faith means as an objective standard is not only the logical thing to do, it's the right thing to do.
The future of this law is now being debated in the legislature and is also the subject of a citizens initiative. We have both sides of that debate. First, Jeff Robinson is an attorney in Seattle and deputy legal director of the American Civil Liberties Union. He says the law unfairly shields police from prosecution.
The shooting that we all saw in Oklahoma, where the man was shot by a woman, a female police officer, killed with his hands up, standing outside the car. In the state of Washington, that officer would not be successfully prosecuted because there is no proof of malice or evil intent or lack of good faith on the part of that officer. She said, "I was scared. I panicked. I'm really, really sorry." And so one of the questions is, it's a very simple question. Do you want police to be able to shoot and kill people in the state of Washington under circumstances that we saw on that videotape? That officer would not be charged in the state of Washington. And if charged, it would be virtually impossible to convict. And these aren't just my words. These are, you know, there are prosecutors across the state who acknowledge this. And so the question is, what kind of message are you sending to communities? This is not about police officers having dangerous jobs or being heroes. This is about, in the state of Washington, a police officer can legally kill someone. And when I say legally, I mean avoid criminal prosecution. If the killing is reckless, and I'm not using that term to be provocative, reckless as defined by the law in the state of Washington. If it is negligent, if it is unjustified, and if it is unnecessary, as defined by the law in the state of Washington. And so what message does that send to people in the community that these are the circumstances under which police can kill you without any accountability?
You argue that Washington State is unique in the nation in terms of having this very high bar to prosecute police officers. How did this law come to be? What's the history here? How did this language get into the law?
It's a very convoluted history, and quite frankly, the explanations that I have heard really don't make sense. And so I think what is less important is how this got into the law. What's more important is, what do we do about it now? Now that we recognize no one who is in the state legislature today was responsible for writing this law. And so how it got in and why it got in, it seems to me, is of little import when we see the result of this law, which is, and I'm not saying anyone intended it to be this way, but in terms of the operation of this law in the state of Washington, it's a license to kill.
Is the purpose of changing the law to give prosecutors a greater ability to prosecute more police officers?
Quite frankly, my view of the purpose in changing the law is to send an absolute and clear message to the community that police officers who act outside the bounds of appropriate behavior will be held accountable. If more police officers are prosecuted, then that's the result of the law. But as I've said, you can look at the laws in the other 49 states and look at the results in the other 49 states. You're not seeing a huge number of prosecutions in those states as compared to the state of Washington. So this is less about prosecuting individual police officers, in my view, and more about changing the law so that you are saying to communities who have historically been the subject of unnecessary violence by the police, and I think we are all at a point where we will recognize that that's true, saying to those communities, we are going to write a law that at least holds officers accountable if they act outside the bounds of what we deem, we as the community deem to be appropriate behavior. And so if more police officers are prosecuted, that's fine. But at least the standards by which we judge them will be standards that show respect for the community that they're supposed to protect and serve.
And what do you say to those police officers who worry that changing the law will have a chilling effect on police officers?
Look at the statistics. There is no identifiable change in the rate of police officers being prosecuted in the other 49 states. And I also say this. Here is the law that would apply to police officers in the state of Washington if you got rid of malice and good faith. If a police officer uses deadly force and that police officer is reasonable, as defined by a reasonable person standard, knowing what that officer knew and seeing what that officer saw, but having an objective overlay of reasonableness, then the officer isn't going to be held responsible for killing somebody. If the officer makes a mistake, as long as the mistake is reasonable, the officer won't be held responsible for killing anybody. So why does a police officer need more protection than this? Go out and do your job. Use deadly force if you think it is absolutely necessary and the only resort.
That was Jeff Robinson from the American Civil Liberties Union. Now we turn to what police think of this potential change. Craig Bulkley is president of the Washington Council of Police and Sheriffs. He's also a police officer in Spokane. He told me there's no evidence that police officers are hiding behind the word malice.
I think that the prosecutors have the ability to file charges on police officers if it's warranted. I'm not sure why our prosecutors are not filing charges. I believe that's on our county prosecutors to file those charges if there are cases. And I'm not sure why it would be that difficult if there was such a use of without malice on somebody. I'm just not sure why our prosecutors wouldn't file charges.
We've certainly heard from prosecutors, for example, with the killing of John T. Williams, the Indian woodcarver who was shot in Seattle. And I believe at that point, Dan Satterberg, the prosecutor here, said there was no point moving forward with a prosecution because it was really difficult to prove malice in that situation. What's your reaction to that?
Again, if we start going through each case, I'm not familiar enough with that case to actually to give you my opinion on it. I trust in the prosecutors. I trust that if they believe that there wasn't enough to charge an individual, then that's what their gut feeling is. And as you know, even if our prosecutor fails to, if there is evidence there, even if our prosecutor fails, there is a federal statute. I know there is a police officer that was in Spokane that spent time in jail because our local prosecutor failed to prosecute, but the federal government did.
I want to ask you about some of the emotions around this because it is very emotional. And you are a police officer in Spokane. What does this feel like to be having this conversation and this debate right now for police? I mean, what impact is this having on officers?
Well, I can tell you that it is the all of a sudden we are the villains. Police officers are the bad guys here. I'm having conversations with several groups across the state talking about this, and the bottom line is it would be an olive branch if you did this. And you know, my members, the police officers across the state, are like an olive branch. I'm not sure what that means as far as they're doing their jobs. But one of the things that's done to answer your question, Deb, is that it has put us on the defensive, like we are the bad guys now. We have done something wrong, and we have nothing that shows that our law enforcement officers are doing anything wrong. If there are incidents out there where they need to be held accountable for it, I don't want to work with a bad cop. But on the other hand, changing it just for the sake of changing it, I as it's been stated before, I'm not sure that changing this is actually going to reduce the number of violent encounters with law enforcement in the community. I just don't know how this is going to affect that.
Is there, I mean, do you have another idea for how to reduce the number of violent encounters with police that doesn't involve changing the law? Do you have other things that you'd rather see put into place?
Yes, we do. And we've submitted those to the task force. You know, some of the things that we've talked about is the mental health issue. That is huge across the country, let alone in our state. But that is something that needs to be dealt with. You have police officers out there on the street playing mental health counselors because the mental health profession can't keep up. That is one of the things that we have to have, is maybe going side by side with mental health. I know in Spokane County that is something that's being done, a partnership between law enforcement and the mental health professionals. And that's something I think we have to look at, seeing what we can do. The less lethal piece, you know, training our officers to use less lethal when it's appropriate. What we need to do is have those tools available to all the agencies, all the officers in the state. Believe it or not, we have agencies in the state that don't have those less lethal tools available. And that's something that we have to have.
The task force that's meeting in Olympia now will be making some kind of recommendations to the legislature about this law. And there's also an initiative out there that's gathering signatures that could do the same thing. Given that there is this threat of an initiative, of a citizens' initiative, do you support making some changes to the state law now? I mean, something?
You know, I think that I've said this organization has said this long, police officers across the state have said, if we need to educate people, we'll do that, but I'm not sure that the change of a law merely to make somebody feel better is going to do any good. I just don't think that. I think communication between law enforcement and the community will do by far more than changing without malice. I'm not sure that that's going to change a thing.
That was Craig Bulkley, president of the Washington Council of Police and Sheriffs. A state task force is meeting right now in Olympia to discuss how the state should rewrite laws that protect police officers involved in shootings. The task force is expected to present its recommendations later this afternoon.